All right, hour two is here upon us. But you know what that means? Great. We got two things going. We got 97.1, got the KFTK crowd joining us, and we've got a whole nother hour of home improvement left for everybody. We got plenty to go through, but anything you need, let's have a conversation about it. Let's see what's going on. Let's see how we can help you. 314-436-7900. You can call in, you can text in. Let's see what's going on out there in St. Louis and how we can help. And so I'm going to start off here back into finishing answering Jim's question about his fireplace. So full masonry fireplace, has the metal damper at the top, has a very old gas log set that doesn't have a pilot light, which is interesting. But yeah, 35 years old. I'm sure there was a lot different versions. And getting cold air coming down, you can feel the cold air coming in when they're not using it. Same kind of thing for drafting when you are using it in the opposite direction. When you do use that and you're running it and damper's open and the heat's rising, it's pulling conditioned air right out of your house. But when you're not, it can be letting cold air just blow down inside and get inside there. So there's a couple things that you could do just looking at how can you help and how can you try and stop it. Professionally wise, they do have these old dampers that go on top of the chimney, and there's like a chain that comes down through the flue, and you kind of pull this chain and it'll open that damper from the very, very top of the chimney. I'm not a big fan of that because you have to know to have that thing open. The next person needs to know to be able to open that, what it is. If you sell the house, if you have kids that try and do this while you're not at home or something, fireplaces can be extremely dangerous. You want to make sure that you understand how they work and that you're doing everything right. So it wouldn't be my favorite solution. They do make kind of these chimney balloons, they call it. Just kind of these blockers that go at the top of that masonry fireplace that kind of air up almost like a raft and can kind of fill that up, cover that damper, and help keep that cold from coming through. Again, that's something that you got to know what it is. You got to know that it's up there. Usually there's like a stick that comes down that hits the bottom of the fireplace so that you kind of see that and know there's something to do. But again, you're blocking that off from the inside, and you just don't want somebody coming in and turning on that gas log set or trying to get that running, not knowing what they're doing, and just then it's not drafting out. Everything's coming into the house. Again, another dangerous situation. But so you want to watch how you do that. But that's a couple things you could do. You can buy those devices to put up there to kind of block that air. You could consider adding doors, even though I know that a lot of people don't like that look or don't want that, but if you add doors you shut, that'll keep some of it in. Not nearly as good as like an airtight, air up a balloon, kind of hold that there. So then your biggest investment, the one I would probably recommend the most, is actually you can kind of take that stuff apart and you can have a new gas fireplace, like an insert, put into this firebox. So you take all that stuff out, you get rid of that gas log set, the line, you hook the line up to this new firebox. They put out they follow the flue up with a new kind of flue liner that vents this new firebox out. Now, it would be an insert, would have like the glass in front of it, but it's really good because it will heat the room better. It will not draft conditioned air into it. It gets its intake from outside and it gets rid of the bad air out through the flue. And so most expensive option, but safest option that anybody will be able to work, anybody will be able to use, and you'll never have to worry about, did you do something that someone else might come along and try and change, try and use, try and do something that that could cause an issue, cause carbon monoxide in the house. Something fatal could literally happen. I have gotten questions a lot of like people want to block that off permanently because they never use it, but they want to keep the depth. They're like, I just want to block off the top 100% permanently and then keep it looking like a fireplace because I like the way it looks and I like the aesthetics. I just don't use it. And I'm like, and even if there's not a gas log set in there, I'm going, you just can't do that because if anybody came in and didn't know that and threw three logs in this masonry opening and lit it on fire, it would just fill the house full of smoke. And it's just not advisable to do something like that. So you do have to be very careful with all these other ways to do it and these products to make sure that you're being safe with it and that it's not going to be some sort of issue down the road. So there you go. That's kind of my take on Jim's scenario there. Hey, Peter, if you can hold the line real quick through a break, I want to make sure I got enough time to get through you and to hear what you need and to get a good answer for you. So we're going to jump into our first break. For everybody else, 314-436-7900. We'll answer your questions. We'll have more home improvement when we come back after this. All right. We got a lot going on today. A lot of nice calls, questions. A lot happening for everybody. Let's see what else we can get into. We'll help you out however we can. 314-436-7900. Finds me. Call in, text, whatever you got going on. We'll see how we can help. And let's start with Peter on the line as promised. Peter, are you there?
I am here.
All right. What's happening? How can we help you?
Okay. Well, I will try to make this brief. I purchased a property about 10 years ago on a lake, and it's kind of a cobbled together house, two-story, not real big, but I've been remodeling it. And I finally, there's two bathrooms, one downstairs, and then there's another bathroom shower directly above that. Now, I did some remodeling, got the shower downstairs working perfect, good velocity, good pressure in the shower. The one upstairs, maybe 8 feet away from the hot water heater, I completely gutted that bathroom. I even saw all the pipes in the floor and everything, put a whole new nice shower in, sinks and everything. And now I got to the point where, and I should have checked it before, but the water pressure or velocity out of the shower is not to my liking. The shower below it will almost knock you over. The piping is coming out of the hot water heater, and it goes into, well, it's 3/4 inch going into the house to the hot water heater. And coming out of that, it's 1/2 inch going upstairs. I've tried cleaning the ceramic filter out of the shower and things like that, but I just can't seem to get the velocity that I want. Now, do I need to somehow tear all this out and put maybe 3/4 inch pipe up to that shower? Or is it possible that I can put a booster before the hot water heater to maybe make that shower a little bit stronger?
So they do make like whole house and like water pressure boosters that you can install to get more pressure in the water lines. But it sounds to me like that might overdo it for the other shower, because if you have good pressure there and it's working well.
Correct.
Did you change the shower valve, shower head, all of that in both of those bathrooms to something new?
No, the one downstairs, I haven't changed anything. It works fine. The one upstairs, I replaced the handheld shower and the water shower head, and it still does the same thing. I took the cartridge out of the handle, the rough end, and I cleaned that real good and put it back in, and it didn't make any difference. I did order a new ceramic cartridge just to see if maybe it was something I was missing that didn't clean, but I have not received that yet. But it's almost like the water is throttled somewhere. I did check my water pressure with a pressure valve on my outside water faucet.
Yeah.
And it was 65 pounds, or no, I'm sorry, it was 60 pounds per square inch. So I think I got enough pressure coming into the house.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is a decent amount of pressure.
The rise is less than 8 feet from that hot water heater upstairs. And all the plumbing is done. There's no copper. There's no cast iron or anything. It's all, well, it's cobbled, I'm telling you. It's a CPVC and PEX kind of hooked together.
Okay. Okay. And so, but if they were half inch lines, I am curious, like, is there, how old's the house?
The house was originally built in 1943, but okay. It's been remodeled several times, yep. And, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because kind of the way they try and, the way things are now for keeping good water pressure is everything has to be a 3/4 inch line, mm-hmm. And then you can run a half inch line to each fixture.
Correct.
From a 3/4 inch line. And yes. The way it was years ago, even back in the 80s and early 90s, maybe they were still running a lot of, like, just everything was half inch, and they would just come off a 3/4 with 1/2 inch line that fed every fixture in the whole bathroom. So
it's exactly what that, this is.
Yeah. And so that could be part of the problem with, coupled with a newer valve that just probably doesn't let as much water through, mm-hmm. as an older valve. It's kind of the same as an old toilet that used way more water, used, you know, 3.5 gallons of water to flush, and now we've got them at like a gallon or less.
Right. Well, I know these cartridges are set at like 2.5 gallons, I think.
Yeah.
And so, I don't think you can get anything more than that for this type of rough-in.
Yeah, and they do make valves that are meant for 3/4 inch all the way that could be helpful. Uh-huh. But typically, if you've got 60 pounds or more.
Now.
Yeah, no, for sure. And how you get some of these lines upgraded to 3/4,
right,
could really be a hassle. But I'm guessing that's probably where your issue lies, between the size of that pipe, the volume that goes through a half inch feeding everywhere, and then that newer valve cutting down a little bit of the water that'll run through
right.
it. And if there's any type of regulator in the shower head that's keeping
I've
a little
taken
bit,
all the
you've taken yeah, all that
all
out
regular, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. I've been researching this. And, you know, the funny thing is, before I remodeled this, on the upstairs bathroom that I tore apart, they had a jetted tub up there. And, you know, it was all plumbed there. And I turned it and had plenty of water coming out of the spigot to fill the tub up.
Really?
But now that I did all this, it just doesn't seem to... I don't think it's pressure. I think it's volume for some reason.
Yep. And that's going to be size of the pipe. Yep. Yep.
So anywhere I can upgrade to 3/4 would be a plus for me, I think.
I do. Yep.
Even though I may not be able to reach all the way to where I want to.
Yeah, it would definitely help, but if you could get it to where it at least connects in to where it goes from 3/4 to half straight to that shower valve and 3/4 to the other stuff. If that's possible, that's probably what's going to be your biggest help.
Okay. Now, these half-inch runs off of the 3/4 trunk, I mean, is it limited to how long those can be, or, you know, like 3 feet, 5 feet, or however long it takes to come from the 3/4 inch trunk?
No, that really shouldn't matter. But yeah, how long that is, that shouldn't be a problem there. It's just a matter of trying to get to, you know, lesser volume to everywhere.
Right.
So, cause your bathroom's only so big, so it's not going to be, you know, if you get the 3/4 there, you're not going to be that long.
It's right.
Not like
it's
you're
not
running 30
house.
Feet
it's
or
like,
anything. Yeah.
It's like 600 feet down, 600 feet up. And the run of the pipes couldn't be more than 10 feet straight up from the hot water heater and maybe another 20 feet throughout the house.
Yeah.
To all the fixtures. Yeah.
Yep. So
I want to do is tear up my flooring and my shower part to get the you know, the pipe under it again and all that.
Yeah, and I wonder if is there ceiling underneath it that you could get to that from drywall? Because my guess is you're going to need to get that 3/4 as close as you can just to be beyond everything else to really make it work well.
It'd be a lot of deconstruction.
Yeah, that's a shame, but I feel like that's probably where you're going.
Yeah.
With the new stuff.
Okay.
All right.
I appreciate your help.
No problem. Good luck, Peter.
Okay, thank you.
All right, you're welcome. All right. So, yeah, that's, man, water pressure is one of the hardest things to deal with, to figure out, and there's so many causes with calcium in the lines and distance and size of pipe and the valves that tie in, and you can get, like I said, you can look for valves that would have more flow. Does the 3/4 line go directly to the valve itself? Most of them are meant for 1/2 inch, but if you get that, you need to run that 3/4 line all the way to that valve, into that valve, but then you've got a lot of volume making it to that fixture, and that changes the dynamic a lot. I had a project quite some years back that they were kind of at the top of the hill. They always had a low water pressure. It was a part of the design and the thinking of this bathroom remodel from the get-go in their master bath. And we did this really cool, like, neo-angle corner shower, and it had some body sprays and all this stuff. And they were really concerned with, we want this to work. So all the valves we purchased and installed were all 3/4 valves. So all the piping was 3/4 to it. But we also put a whole home pressure booster in the house too. And they were still even kind of leery when we were doing this work, how well all that was even going to work, all the way to the point where the shower was pretty big and they didn't have a door planned on the shower. And so you just kind of walked in through the opening in this big neo-angle shower. And the first time I turned that shower on to see this thing work, just the head alone sprayed so far it went outside the shower onto the floor. And they were like, holy cow, this is really working. So doing all that can really get a lot more volume to there. And then, of course, a pressure booster really helped them out. And so next thing you know, we were ordering a shower door to put on there because they never thought it would even spray that far, much less they're like, there's just no way. We've been in this house for years and we've never had that much. And they were really surprised and they really loved the results of their showers. So kind of trying to think about all that inside of everything, it can be very important. But hey, we're going to get into our middle hour break here. We got another 1/2 hour for everybody. I see the phone's kind of starting to light up. So we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. More home improvement for everybody right after this. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show. We're here. We can help. Whatever you need out and about around your house. I would not recommend maybe doing too much outside with your inspection. Make it quick. It's going to be hard to see with the snow on the roof. I was with a client and we walked around his house and he had a roof issue and ended up having to show me photos of it on his phone of what he had seen before I got there because everything was covered with snow. So be quick and careful outside, but look around the inside, see what's going on there, and then give us a shout, 314-436-7900. And speaking of giving us a shout, let's go straight to Chris and see what's going on. Chris, are you there? Can you hear me?
I am, and I'll take your advice on the roof because with my luck, I'd slide off and break my leg or something.
Oh, yeah.
anyway, hey, I got a house that was built in 1965. I'm on a well. It's actually a 3-house well. And I've had problems with water pressure, volume, I'm not sure what it is, in my house for ever since I moved there 10 years ago. And something you were talking about there, it seemed like you, that last guy was prompting me to think about this. I had purchased 3/4 PEX some time ago, and I was going to rerun it all the way through the house to everything. And now, listening to what you just said, I'm kind of wondering, I've also heard about these pressure boosters and things like that, and most mm-hmm. of the plumbers I talk to say they're very expensive and so on. So what I'm kind of wondering is if it might be worth my while just to replace all the half-inch trunk lines, I guess is what they call them. I don't know, the main lines.
Sure.
And then tie back into the copper that's going out to the fixtures off of the PEX like that. That seems like a good first step, and then see where we go from there.
Yeah, no, I think for sure. And really, anything with even what Peter was talking about, it shouldn't be like the change from the PEX to the copper. That shouldn't have a huge effect to worry about that. And I've never heard, I mean, water should flow through smooth PEX very well, so I don't think that would have anything to do with the pressure, the volume, that sort of thing. PEX is a great product that works really well. So, I think that would definitely be a good start to upsize.
Right. I didn't say it quite right. I want to go from, it's all half inch. Everything's half inch.
Yeah, yeah. Go up to 3/4. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then run all 3/4 out to the half inches running out to the fixtures is kind of what I was thinking.
Yep. No, and that should definitely work well and help out without a doubt. Yep. Make sure you get some good volume getting to each of those half inch fixtures.
The other question I got is I got a second pressure tank I can use. And I was considering putting that inside of my home and then setting up a backflow or whatever it's called on that so that it fills but doesn't feed back into the system so that I have a dedicated pressure tank inside my own home. Have you had any experience with that or heard of anybody doing something like that?
That I have not. I've had no experience with anything like that, and haven't really even heard of anybody doing anything like that. At least I've seen some old stuff way back when, like from a really long time ago, that I probably didn't even really completely understand, you know, how that was working even then. But unfortunately, I have no experience with anything like that. And especially on the well, being a little bit different, you know, with the pump and everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for your help.
All righty. No problem, Chris. Good luck with that. I think it's a good plan, though, to get that to 3/4 around everywhere. Let's jump over to Mark and see how we can help. Mark, how you doing today? Hi.
Great. I'm inside, so that's good.
Yes, good.
So what I've got is in my basement, it's a bathroom that has a shower and a toilet, but you have to go into the utility room to use the sink. So the plan is to remove the shower and put a vanity in there. And the couple questions I have is, one is, it's got the concrete block wall, is the basement walls. And in the shower, the wall that was up against that, they just glued the ceramic tiles. They were like 4x8 tiles onto it. They're on there really good and solid. Instead of me building a false wall, my question is there an adhesive out there that I can just glue drywall to that ceramic tile?
I don't think I'd recommend that. If you can get your plumbing, you know, straight through and everything where you don't need plumbing inside of a wall for your vanity wall, I would at least recommend like some 3/4 inch 1x furring strips that get kind of screwed, even if you went like through the tile and did like a Tapcon screw into that, because I mean, there's liquid nail type glues and drywall. There's glues that would work. It's just a matter of like, how long will they work? And if that tile ever gets cold, there's just things that can break that glue down and make it kind of release from that tile pretty easily. Any moisture, any condensation, anything going on, I'd be more worried about the lasting effect 2 years from now, as it's like cracking and you can kind of push on it and you can feel that it's moving away from the wall and you're like, okay, now what do I do? So I would just at least fur it out with like some 1x4s or something like that, do some Tapcon screws through tile into the concrete block, and then you can use short drywall screws and you could still glue the drywall to the one bys, the furring strips, and then use screws to screw it all on, and you'll have a really good long lasting way to hold that together then.
Okay. Well, that wall, like I said, I put my hand on it. It's very cold. So maybe
going
with the one bys and putting like maybe some kind of a foam insulation, not a foam, but a solid insulation between the furring strips would help.
Yeah. Yeah. You could cut, like the 3/4 inch thick, the foam insulation they sell, like the polystyrene in the sheets, you can cut those to fit in between there and kind of help warm that up just a tad, keep that off the drywall a little bit. Yep, that would work good.
But you wouldn't recommend like putting a sheet of plastic up first before I put the furring strips up or anything?
No, I wouldn't, just because that plastic will hold moisture. The polystyrene would kind of do the same. But it, at least when you put the 3/4 inch insulation board between each of them, like moisture vapor can go around that and through the around where it's, because it's not going to be perfectly cut, and you can get some moisture vapor kind of around it where the wood is and all of that. You cover that with a sheet of plastic and you could get condensation on the backside of that plastic. And you might get a little bit of that just from the insulation, but at least the insulation has some sides and cuts in it to where it could kind of breathe a little bit. The plastic would not. It'd go corner to corner and kind of cover everything up. And, yeah, you could definitely get condensation. So we never recommend any type of solid vapor barrier on an interior wall like that.
Okay, sounds good. Last one question is it's an older home that's got a terrazzo concrete base, about a 4x30 inch base, and so is there an easy way to remove that without taking a saw to it I don't know, hammer, drill, I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's going to be like taking out concrete. It's like a rotary hammer with a little. You could get a rotary hammer type drill that has a little breaking piece on it, that like a mini jackhammer, and break this thing into pieces, and you can kind of go underneath it to lift it up off the floor. But I think you're coming out in chunks and pieces.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for your answers, and I'm going to, sounds good.
All right. Well, yeah, good luck with all that, Mark. Appreciate the questions, the call. Glad we can help. Herb, if you can hang on for a couple minutes, we're going to get to our final break here of this hour, and I will jump to you as soon as we return. Everybody else, 314-436-7900. Come back. We'll have more answers after this. Welcome back. Welcome back. Home Improvement Show. Last segment, we got about 8 minutes, so let's get at it with Herb here and see how we can help. Herb, can you hear me?
Yes, my son has a wood-burning fireplace, and he had it cleaned out last year, and they told him that the inside needed to be tuck pointed. Have you heard anything like that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You can have cracks in your flue liner. You can in between the flue liners, there's mortar that can break out, and so you can actually have the smoke and all that kind of going through that flue liner or through the brick. If it is a brick, it can break down and definitely need work in there. And I know there are like spray-on liners that they do, some companies do, to just run through there and kind of fill all those voids to keep that working and getting all the heat and smoke and everything out the top. Yep. But that is common.
Now, he said he feels like this company is pretty reputable, and they told him it'd be about $300 to do it. Does that sound about right?
Boy, that sounds awfully low to me, actually. Depending on what they're doing, maybe if they're spraying something in there, they could do that for that little bit of an investment. But that doing any kind of work on a chimney, $300 seems extremely low.
Do you have any type of an estimate around what that would cost?
No, I definitely would not. I don't do a lot of that personally or see a lot of that. That would all be like a trade partner performing some kind of work like that. So I don't even have much of a guess whatsoever, but I would definitely, there's companies that will camera scope and show you videos of like what the inside is like and where the deficiencies are and how they plan on attacking that. But I can tell you that I would guess that if you had a good chimney sweep company come out and camera scope down and up and through that and show you the videos and do all that, I would guess you would spend $300 or so just doing that to get educated. That's what some of that stuff can cost. But it might be worth the money and the education to know for sure and to be able to see it and really get it right and make sure that you're getting it right. So a second opinion's never a bad idea.
Would a tuck planing company be able to do something like that?
No, you want a chimney sweep. Yeah.
Okay.
You want an actual chimney company for sure.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
English Sweep is a really good, educated company that knows a lot and loves to do the videos and educate people on exactly what's happening. And I've had a lot of luck with them in the past. So you can go to EnglishSweep.com and check them out and see what's going on. So appreciate the call, Herb. Let's jump over to Nancy and see how we can help Nancy out. Thanks for calling. Yeah, Nancy, can you hear me? Thanks for calling.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. What's going on?
Yes, we purchased a home that has a crawl space, and I've heard conflicting things that we should do in that crawl space. Should we ventilate it? Should we put plastic in it or dehumidify it or just leave it alone?
Well, so it would depend. The just leave it alone would depend on the condition that it's in now and how it's working. So the one thing you do not want to do is ventilate this crawl space from the outside. So if it's an older home and it has the vents around the outside and where you could open and close them and let air from outside into that crawl space, that is about the biggest no-no in crawl spaces that we believed was a good thing years back that we don't do anymore. But you do get a lot of moisture and there are a lot of issues that can occur inside of crawl spaces. So what I recommend in a crawl space is to basically, especially if it's a dirt floor, if it's dirt or rock, you basically cover that entire floor and you go up the walls of the foundation with a rubber liner And they make a liner called Duriscrim that works really good. It's like a white kind of woven liner that's meant for crawl spaces. You go up the wall, and then around the top where the floor is, you foam seal and insulate around all the sides to the exterior, all four sides, and that foam sprayed insulation goes down and touches that liner. When it does that, you've completely like air sealed and locked in where any moisture from the ground will remain underneath this liner. And it'll block the humidity, it'll block the moisture. So if you get a liner like that, you can monitor the humidity level down there, but more than likely you won't need a dehumidifier because you'll be locking out the moisture, so it shouldn't get a lot of humidity. And your humidity from outside won't be coming in because you're not leaking air in there and you're not ventilating it from the outside. So you've kind of blocked out moisture and humidity. And that's what I would recommend to do inside of a crawl space.
Okay. Do you have any companies and an approximate cost for this procedure?
I haven't priced one out in quite a little while. My estimators kind of do that inside of room additions that we build and stuff that they estimate for us. But there's an insulation company in Illinois called Goley that does those liners, and they'll do the spray foam insulation, and that's who we have do that work for us for the most part. Otherwise, it's a lot of foundation water management type of companies that do that work. Like your Stratum Structural would do crawl space liners and stuff like that. But Goley Insulation, look them up. Maybe have them look at it. They do a really good job, and they do the foam insulation. They got a great system for it. So,
great.
Sound good?
Okay, thank you so much.
Hey, you
have
are very, very welcome. And we are completely out of time. Brett, I apologize. If you want to call back in next week, I got about 20 seconds, so I don't know that I can get you helped out there. But, hey, we had a great time. We had a great day. I appreciate all the calls. I know, like I said, everybody probably missed me as much as I missed you guys. So, for now, I'll talk to you next week. Be good to each other. Be good to your homes. And we'll reconnect again next week.